Morning, everyone. I wonder, could we do something a little bit different to start this morning? Could I invite you all to stand, if you're able? I just feel like God wants to change, or certainly remind us of his perspective this morning. I wonder if you could just take a minute and to think in your own head about all of the good things that have ever happened to you in your life. I want you to think about all the gifts that you have, all the good times, everything that you can be thankful for in your life. And I just want you to spend a minute to rehearse those things and think about all of the things, all of the good things in your life. Just spend a minute to do that, would you, with me now? Some of you, that might be more difficult than others. Some of you, it would be very easy. And if you would be so brave, and if you're able, I would like everybody to just begin to thank God for those things. Just begin to name them and thank God for all of the good things in your life. Dear God, I thank you so much for my childhood, for great parents, for a wonderful family. Thank you for all the good things you've given me in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Doesn't always feel like it sometimes, but God is so good. And sometimes all it takes is a moment for us to reflect and actually think and change our perspective. And this isn't just some clever psychological trick, okay, even though psychologists tell us that it's good to be thankful. But this is something that God tells us is a truth, and that it's good that we rehearse the things, the good things that God has given us in our life. It actually begins to bring joy within us and helps us to worship and everything else. So thank you for that. Please have a seat. I want to talk to you this morning about growing in the grace of God, or for want of a better term, growing in the favour of God. We talked about how grace is the unmerited favour of God, and there's so many facets to the subject of grace. And today I just want to focus on this idea of the favour of God, that it's God's unmerited favour to us, his grace, and that we all have and have been given a lot of favour and a lot of grace in our lives. Okay, and I want to talk about how do we grow in the grace of God, or grow in the favor of God. Okay, now some people think you can't grow in the favor of God. Well, that's not true, you can. It says it in the Bible. It says, if you remember the story of Jesus, he is at the temple at 12 years old in Luke, and he begins to confound all of the chief priests and all the teachers of the law and all the different people that are in there with his words of wisdom and the things that he's doing. And it says right at the end of that story, and from that day onwards, he grew in favor with both God and man. Some translations say grace. He grew in grace with both God and man. Okay, I'm sticking to favor today because grace is too big of a word. It encompasses too many things. But you can grow in the favor of God. And I want to talk about, number one, how do we do that? Well, one of the main ways I think we do that. Number two, what things get in the way of us doing that? Okay, and then we'll finish. And I don't think I'm going to be too long this morning, you'll be pleased to know. So, how do we grow in the favor and the grace of God? Okay, well, I think it. Jesus tells us in another story that he tells, in the parable of the talents. To put it simply, we grow in the grace of God by taking the grace he has already given us and actually doing something with it, using the grace that you have already been given. Okay, everybody in here, whether you feel like it or not, whether that's a real obvious revelation to you or not, has been given many, many gifts and has a lot of talents and a lot of abilities and actually has many graces and favor on your life. Okay, But what you need to determine and what you need to decide is whether you are going to take that grace and do something with it. Okay? And we see in the parable of the talents, where in which three servants were given a talent to look after. In the olden times, that was a sum of money. Okay? And they were asked to do something with it. And the good servant, two of them did something to it. They took it and they used it. They used the grace or the favor they were given or the talent they were given. And God was very pleased and God blessed them. And one of them just buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. And never used it. And he was actually described as a wicked, wicked servant. Okay? The Bible talks very strongly about taking the things that we are given, the gifts that we are given, and actually putting them to work. Okay? And here's the thing. If we don't do that, we get frustrated ourselves, okay? Even though sometimes we don't realize it, us not stepping out, us not using the gifts God's given us, it actually causes frustration within ourselves. I was reminded of a story when I was at Destiny Christian Center in Oklahoma. Lawrence told me of a family that they had come into this church, this new family. They weren't particularly wealthy. They were really struggling, actually, financially, and the husband had been unemployed for quite a while and still looking for a job and just really not in a great situation. So what the church decided to do together as a church family was, and the leadership, is they started to raise some money for this family as a way of blessing them and sort of welcoming them into the church. And it got to the point where eventually they had enough money. The family really needed a car to get all the family around and they couldn't afford to pay to buy one or anything like that. And it got to the point where they were able to raise enough money to buy, I think it was a brand new car for this family. And it was this amazing event. One Sunday morning, they had this car hidden around the back of the church, and they got the family up, and they had no idea what was going on. It was this huge, massive surprise. The family came up, and then Lawrence went on to say, you know, this is an expression of God's love and generosity for you and your family. We're really pleased that you've become a part of our community, and we know it's not been easy for you over the last few months, and we just want to bless you. And so and what they did is they brought out this car, presented with this amazing brand new car, and the family were all crying and in tears, and it was all amazing. And they were overwhelmed, and it was great. It was a wonderful morning. A couple of years later, the family knocked on Lawrence's door, had a meeting with Lawrence, and said, yeah, we just feel that this isn't the right community for us and that we need to leave and find somewhere else to be a part of a church family. And Lawrence asked them, okay, why is it that you feel that you're not, you know, that you don't fit in here? And this is what they said to him. We just feel that as a family, you as a church, you don't really do enough for the poor and for the needy and for those who are in need and those, you know, we see all these social issues around us that we want to see God move in, but we feel like as a church, you guys don't really do enough of that. And what's interesting about that is, I mean, they were genuinely being serious. I mean, that much of a blind spot. But here's what I think was going on there. There was a grace and a favor on their life to do something about the poor. And they saw it manifest in their own lives, in their own situation. And rather than taking that grace or that favor and going and doing something about it and making that difference, they decided to think, oh, somebody else should do it. And then it got to the point where they got so frustrated and just decided, right, well, we're just going to leave then. Because nobody's doing anything about the poor. Okay? What's your greatest frustration? What are the things that you really feel like we should be doing as a church family? Okay? What are the things that really annoy you? Go do something about it. Stop waiting for somebody else to do it. Go ahead and do it. And God will give you the grace to do that. And oftentimes, that passion and that desire and that want to go and do something is God's grace on your life. It's an indicator of the things that He is calling you to do. So we get frustrated if we don't use our graces, and actually we don't grow in the grace and favor of God when we don't take what we have and use it. Okay? Now none of us are innocent of this. Okay, I'm certainly not. Okay, there's been plenty of times when I know that God has called me to do something, or I know that there's been a grace on my life for a certain season or certain things that I could be doing and I haven't done it. Okay, so Sam's shaking his head. We're all in this together, okay? We're all on a journey. But I want to talk about two ways in which I feel, two main things that I think restrict us in stepping out for God, in doing what God's called us to do, in taking the grace on our lives and actually using them. And I think those two things are this. pride and fear. Pride and fear. We either take the ability we possess and do things in our own strength without needing to rely on God. That's me. Or we disqualify ourselves because we fear we do not have what it takes. I'll read that again. We either take the ability we possess and do the things in our own strength without needing to rely on God. Or we disqualify ourselves because we fear we do not have what it takes. Or there's something that gets in the way. And it's ultimately, it all comes back down to fear. And actually, the pride and fear are sort of the same thing anyway, when we get down to it. In Matthew 5, verse 3, it says this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Okay, of all the Beatitudes, I actually think that's the best promise, the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the one, that Beatitude that you read and you think, what on earth does that mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit. What on earth does that mean? I'll read you from the Amplified version. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What do we think that means? I think that means those who are humble, those who are not proud, those who recognize their own limitations and don't let that get in the way of what God wants them to do. It also says in the Bible, in Proverbs, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, this is really, I mean, this hit home for me when I was sort of preparing this and thinking about it, because this is me, okay? I've never, anybody who knows me has never, probably never described me as a humble man. To a certain degree, that's true. And I recognize that I have different gifts and talents and different abilities, okay, and I've always been very aware of those. Part of the help of that is that my mum's always been very encouraging and called that out of me, which is great. But I recognize that I have a lot of gifts. The problem with that is that leads me to rely so often on my own strength. In any situation, whether that be ministry, me standing up now speaking, whatever it is that I pursue in life, I just think, right, I'm good at that, so I'll go ahead and do that. And that's great. It's good to use the gifts that God has given you. The problem with that is it gets to the point where everything that I do not because I am making a statement, a step of faith, but I'm doing it because actually I just know I'm good at it. And it actually says in the Bible, it's impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what am I getting at? What I'm trying to say is often, in our arrogance or in our pride, okay, or even in our comfort, our own comfort, we only step out in the things that God's asking us to do if we feel like we'd be good at it, or if we feel like we have the strength or the bravery or whatever it might be to be able to do that. We do it all in our own ability, okay? And that's exactly what people in the world do. There's nothing special about realizing that you're good at something and then stepping out and doing it. That's easy. What's difficult, and the problem with doing that is that you end up doing something for God on a scale way smaller than what he's called you to do. Way smaller than what he's called you to do, because you're doing it in your own strength. And actually, if you were to take your gifts and your abilities and then think, right, God, I need to put myself in a situation where only you could, where I'm uncomfortable, okay, and where I need actually to have faith and I need your grace and your empowerment to be able to achieve this because I cannot do it in my own strength. It's easy to do things in your own strength. What's difficult is to take your own strengths and then do something that's far beyond it. And I think so often that is what God is wanting from us, but we just give what we're comfortable with. We've got to break out of that. And I've got to break out of that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that's the first thing. Our pride, our confidence, but ultimately, it's essentially our fear that, you know, we're happy to do things in our own strength, but we're scared if we have to get to a situation where God has to do something, God has to turn up and make the difference, otherwise it's all going to fall apart. But that's all right, because it says in 2 Corinthians, and this is Paul, he's talking about how he's afflicted with something. Some scholars have suggested that some have suggested that he's got some kind of deep personal issue that he's not dealt with. Some scholars have suggested that it's actually genuinely just an illness. Okay? Some people have suggested that it is a person. okay, some really, really annoying or irritating person, some broken relationship, whatever it might be, okay, he's going through this really difficult thing and he's asking God to remove it. And this is the man of faith. This is Paul, the father, one of the fathers of the early church, okay, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, saw people healed on a daily basis, was in prison for the gospel, all these kind of things. If anybody had the faith, it was Paul. And he's praying to God, please God, get rid of this weakness, essentially, this thorn in the flesh, this thing that is afflicting me. And this is what he says. But he said to me, that's God, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But when I am weak, then I am strong. One of the seeming paradoxes of the Christian faith is that we are most effective when we feel least so. Let me say that again. One of the seeming paradoxes, what I mean by that is it seems like a paradox, but it's not. Paradox, but it's not. Seems like it doesn't make sense, but it does. Of the Christian faith is that we are most effective when we feel least so. Why? Because when we're weak, then we're strong. God's waiting for us to get to the end of ourselves so that in our weakness, we can begin with him. We've got to get past ourselves. And why? Because we're weak, then we're strong. Why is that? Because it's true. I mean, ultimately, every single breath you breathe is because of God. Every single thing you do is all God in you. God allows you to breathe. God allows you to do everything. Every gift, anything you have, it's God. He holds the whole universe together with his hands. Okay? And all he wants from us is to recognize that fact. Recognize that we need him. We need him. You may feel called. It's so easy to discourage yourself. It's so easy to be discouraged and think that you can't achieve the things that God has asked you to do. You can't take the favors and the grace that God has given you and use it for a good purpose. It's so easy to feel like that. But you don't need to feel like that, because when you're weak, then you're strong. You may feel like you're called to work with the marginalized or the poor, but you don't have the means or the resources or the know-how. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in weakness. You may feel like you're called to serve on a team in church, okay, but you fear that you'd not be very good at it, or you're worried that it'd be too much stress or work. Good, because his power is made perfect in weakness and his grace is sufficient for you. You may feel called to be a missionary, but you're concerned about how you could support yourself or what kind of danger it might put you in or where it might take your life. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. You may want to start a new initiative in your work or community, but you're worried about failure or all going wrong. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. You may have always felt called to, I don't know, minister to prisoners, okay, in prisons, okay, but you're too concerned about how it might go, okay, or you might not have the ability, or you might have misheard God. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. You might feel that you're called to work in a certain profession that you've always wanted to do, but you feel like you're not smart enough or you've never had the natural ability. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. You might want to share your faith with other people at work. Perhaps there's lots of people in your life that you really would love to see God move in it and they would become Christians, okay? But you're concerned about being rejected or looking like a fool. I think we can all appreciate that. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. Okay, you might have lots of dreams you want to pursue for God, but you feel disqualified because of your past and the things that you've done. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. It's the last one. Maybe God has called you to help serve in a particular way, but your health is constantly a problem. Good, because his grace is sufficient for you and his power is made perfect in your weakness. I'm reminded of a guy called Jim Yost. He's one of my heroes. And he was somebody who was a missionary in Indonesia. And he tells a story of when he was younger. He went to He started going on all these short-term missions because he felt like God was calling him to do something, to go somewhere, to be someone and make a difference in the world of mission. And so what he started to do is go on these short-term missions. And he found himself in, it was China, I believe. And he's sitting in China and he comes to the end. He's right in the middle of this missions trip, okay? And he's doing all these different things, helping with all these different communities and poor people and all these things. This is back in like the 80s. And, 70s actually. And he says he just had this moment right in the middle of this mission trip where he just got down to his knees and he just said, God, I can't do this. I know you've called me to be a missionary, but I cannot do this. I can't. I don't have the ability. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not strong enough. I cannot do this, God. And he said it so clearly in that moment, as he was on his knees, God just came to him and went, good, now you're ready. Now you're ready. And he went on to go back to America and then went to be a missionary in Indonesia and has seen a revival there. And go look up his story. It's amazing. Okay, but it all started in this moment where he got to the end of himself and said, I just can't do this, God. I cannot do this. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Okay, so this morning, if you feel like there are graces, there's favor that God's given you in life, or there's things that God has called you to do, things that he wants from you to make a difference in this world, but you've disqualified yourself because you feel like you're weak or you can't do it, or there's these different issues that are getting in the way, whatever they might be, I've already listed loads. His grace is sufficient for you because his power is made perfect in you. And that's the only way God would have ever wanted it anyway. Okay, he doesn't want you to go and do it in your own strength. That's what the world does. And you wouldn't be able to do it. Last illustration, there's a guy called Ronnie Barnard, who's another one of my heroes. And he's a church minister in South Africa. I've probably told you this story before, I heard it at Bible college. But he was born with, just growing up, he had this awful stammer and stutter. And just to this day, cannot speak properly, just really struggles to get any kind of words out. And when he was at Bible college, because he went to Bible college because he felt the call of God in his life, and he felt like God was calling him to be a preacher and to go out and preach God's word and communicate God's word effectively. And he got to the point where he went to Bible college, and he was graduated Bible college. And as he was leaving, he was trying to, you know, start and work for a church, and he applied to all these different churches. And his Bible college sent a letter out to every single one of the churches that he'd applied to and said, do not take this young pastor on because he cannot even speak. It will not be good for your church. It will not bless you. Do not do it. Okay? And so rejection after rejection after rejection, because he physically could not speak very well to people and was just stammering and stuttering all over the place. Till eventually this one tiny church in some obscure location finally decided, you know what, we're so desperate, we don't even care. We'll have him anyway. We'll take him anyway. And to cut a long story short, many, many years later, he now leads a church of like 8,000 people and preaches every Sunday. And to this day, he still cannot communicate very well in terms of his ability to talk. And so, for example, when my old Bible college principal was there, he was given a piece of paper from him and said, please, can you read out these notices? Because I can't. But every single time he stands up to preach the word of God, he can speak fluently, perfectly, and normally in every single way. It's the grace of God in his life. Why? Because when his grace is sufficient for him, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. Moses, in Exodus, answered God. It was after God has asked him to do all these things, and Moses is worried and saying, oh, they're not going to believe me. You know, what if they don't listen to me? And he says, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? And then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? Now, I feel like that's what God's asking us this morning. What is it that you have in your hand? What is the grace, the favor on your life? What do you have a heart for? Where do you want to see things change? Just take what you have in your hand and offer it to God as a living sacrifice. That's all you can do. All you can do is live by the grace of each day. And ask God to take the little that you have, whatever it might be, and do something amazing with it. But it requires us to move beyond our pride. It requires us to move beyond our fear and to embrace our weaknesses and recognize that through them, God can do amazing things in our lives. So I wonder if you could stand with me, please, if you're able. There's a couple of things I want to pray for. And first of all, I want us all to pray this together, even if, maybe you don't feel like you need to repent, but I certainly feel like I need to repent. I want us to pray a prayer of repentance for not taking the grace and the favor that God's given us in our lives and using it, for all the times that we've wasted the gift of God over our lives. I'm sure we can all relate to that. Okay, the good thing about God is he's gracious, and he's a God who forgives us, and actually he is the God of second chances. So even though we haven't used all the graces he's given us before, he's still willing to give us more. And I think it starts with us this morning asking God to forgive us for the times that we've wasted what he's given us. And then I want to pray for you, those of you who feel disqualified or feel like you are not good enough or feel like you want to do things, but there's all these things getting in the way. And I want you to have a revelation that when you're weak, then you're strong. And ultimately what it comes down to is, are we willing to trust God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Or a better way of putting that is, without trust in God, without trusting God, it's impossible to please him. And some of us need to have more trust. So I wonder, I'll lead us in a prayer of repentance. And if you agree with that, then at the end, please do say amen. And then I want to leave some time to pray for those who need that revelation I just talked about. So, Father God, thank you so much for your loving kindness, for your grace, and your favor on our lives. And I just ask, I just come to you now and I say, I'm sorry. We're sorry for all of the times we've missed the mark, for all of the times when you have put a grace on our lives to do something and we've not done it. Either out of fear or whatever it might have been, or circumstances, whatever it may be, God, we are sorry. And Lord, we ask that by your mercy and by your grace, you will continue to show us favor and give us favor to step out into all that you are calling us to do. Help us to be brave, God. Help us to be brave. Amen.